You're listening to The Pastor Pod, sharing what we're learning to help you lead well in our culture today. This podcast is hosted by pastors Josh Robinson and Jay Mudd. Their goal is to be real, transparent, and let you in on what pastors really think about stuff.
Well, welcome back to The Pastor Pod. We're excited that you're with us for another episode. And if you're new with us, Pastor Pod's all about a real, honest conversation with leaders. And man, we're on episode 32, Jay.
32.
I'm just amazed that we've made it this far, and glad that we're able to do this each week. And I'm having a lot of fun with not only learning with you, but with our special guests that are going to be joining us today.
That's right. We have Jimmy and Kristen Scroggins, and I'm looking forward to hearing from them. And yeah, so let's not waste too much time here. If you don't know who they are, we're going to give them a chance here in just a moment to introduce themselves, so we can all get to know them a little bit. But chances are you've come across the name Jimmy Scroggins and Kristen. They have written books. They've been very influential in many different circles. And we're just honored to have them on the podcast today. So why don't we just kick it to you guys real quick. And whoever wants to start is welcome to start. Do us a favor and just introduce yourselves a little bit. Tell us who, you know, where you come from. I heard just a moment ago before we hit record, you're on grandparent duty, Kristen. And so yeah. I'd love to hear about that as well. So just give us a brief bio. You guys can tag team it, whatever way you want to do it. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Go ahead, Kristen. Why don't you kick us off here?
Okay, so Jimmy and I met in college. I was 17 and he was 19. And Jimmy had dated a lot of girls before me, but I hadn't dated a lot. But we never dated any. We never dated anybody besides each other after we met. So we've been together for a long time. We got married in 94. Had our first child at the beginning of 96, and God blessed us with 8 children. We have 6 sons, 2 daughters, and now, yes, I'm on grandparent duty this week because we have 2 grandchildren. I have a grandson who's about 19 months old and a granddaughter who's 17 months. And my son, who has the granddaughter, just moved to Naples with his wife. And so I'm here having the time of my life taking care of her while they're unpacking boxes.
Yeah. So, Kristen and I can't remember all the things. She mentions all kinds of stuff that I have no memory of at all. And, I do appreciate the fact that she called these children, her sons, but actually I did have a little,
I'm sorry. So
I just want to make it clear. We're not a blended family.
We're together.
We've all only been together. And, anyways, I've been the pastor at, the First Baptist Church of West Palm Beach since 2008. We're known as Family Church now. And we're a multi-site church. We have 14 sites across 3 counties in multiple languages. And so we're a network of neighborhood churches, and that's really important to us. And so we have always had a pretty big ministry with parents and particularly young couples, young parents. And I think it's just because when you make a lot of children, people think you might know how to raise them, even though one has very little to do with the other. And so we've always had a lot of opportunity to speak into these kind of things in the lives of people in our churches where we served. And then, you know, as our kids have grown up and now we have adult children and grandchildren, we probably have a lot more wisdom because we've had to accumulate it, through all the ups and downs of marriage and parenting and trying to figure all of this out. And I think, you know, now we feel like we have a little bit more of something to say. And so that's why we've started doing this. And we do have children with children. And we have a lot of pastors and staff members at Family Church that have young families. And so some of the things that we write about and that we talk about are the things that we talk about with our own children, with our own team at Family Church. And then we've just kind of assembled some of the things we've talked about and things that we say and just put it out there for a wider audience. We're grateful for Lifeway and B&H being willing to publish it for us.
That's awesome.
Well, I can say I'm really I haven't finished the book. I'm going to be transparent. I haven't finished the book, but I have enjoyed what I have read.
Lots of people have not finished the book. It's okay, man.
Well, I'm just being real because that's what we try to promote is real,
keep it honest, real,
transparent conversations. Right. So I haven't finished the book, but I'm a young parent. Well, I don't know if I can consider my, can I consider myself still young?
I think you're young, Jay.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'll consider it. But I have five kids all under the age of 14.
There you go.
And so I'm learning a lot. I'm always trying to learn. And I agree with what you just said, because you said people looked at you when you have young kids, people feel like you act like, and that's what people look at me. They're like, you know what you're doing. You have five kids. I was like, no, I just have five kids. I don't know what I'm doing. And so I'm always looking for resources. So I'm looking forward to having this conversation. And you hinted to it just a minute ago, Jimmy. You said there was this book that's been published. And in case you're wondering what book we're going to be looking at and talking through today, is it's Full Circle Parenting. And then the tagline is a guide for critical conversations. And really, I think this is a really important for us to have. Pastors, I think we focus a lot on leading the church. We focus a lot on shepherding the church. And we do have a major responsibility to lead our families and shepherd our families. And so I'm looking forward to this this conversation. And I guess I just want to kick things off by just asking, you know, what prompted you? Again, I heard a little bit, but let me just ask, you know, what prompted you to say, hey, I want to put this together in a book format so that people like me can benefit from it?
Well, you know, for one thing, let me just say that when you write a parenting book, it is extremely scary, because even when our firstborn son said, are you sure you want to do this? You have at that time, a 12-year-old in your house. Are you sure that you want to write a parenting book? Because as we all know, even though our children are walking with the Lord now, we're proud of all eight of them. You know, things can go sideways very quickly. But one of the reasons why we wanted to write this book is because it's not your normal parenting book. It's not a how to raise amazing kids book, although I do think there are some great principles in there to help us navigate parenting and to raise great kids. But this is a book of how to have important, crucial conversations with your children. And really what this book is about is keeping the gospel at the center of all of those conversations. And so it's not a manual. If you do this and this, then you're going to raise a child that equals that. It's really, okay, guys, there's going to be some big time stuff that we've got to talk about if we're going to live out Deuteronomy 6, where he tells us to, as we're walking in the way, no matter what we're doing, that we're supposed to be talking to our kids about the things of the Lord. And so how do we do that well? How do we always keep God's design in front of them, at the same time showing that there's always a way back if they're struggling?
And I think too, we just sense that parents that we talk to, they believe the gospel and they understand that Jesus is crucified on the cross for the sins of the world and God raised him from the dead. They believe that God can forgive us as parents of any sins in our past or in our present or in our future. And they believe that for their kids too, but they need a map about how to have these conversations. So parents, while they believe the gospel, and then they know they're going to have these conversations with their kids as they grow up about sexuality, about bitterness, about dealing with friendships and other kids, about drugs and alcohol, all kinds of things, technology, how are we going to talk about these things in our house? So parents know they've got to talk about that, but they really don't know how to tie the truth of the gospel to these conversations. So what we've tried to do is create a map, and we use a tool called the Three Circles, and we try to create a map so that the book is basically about how to use this conversation map, so that regardless of what kind of conversation you're having, how intense it is, how difficult it might be, you can have a map for tying the gospel to the conversations that you must have with your children as you go through everyday life.
You know, one of the things that we're really proud of about the book is that it, I think it's applicable to parents of all age groups, because when you think about these conversations of marriage and sexuality and even, you know, substance abuse and alcohol, you're thinking, oh, well, this is for teenage kids, you know, but honestly, it's so much better if you can start these conversations when they're very, very young, because unfortunately for our children, they're growing up in a world that is going to expose them to this kind of topic, these kinds of topics very early, so much earlier than I was confronted with these things. And so as we can begin to weave God's design into all these conversations that we're having with them from the time, even before they can speak, And then obviously it goes across all the lines from elementary, middle, high school, college, and adult children. And so it was fun to write it, and it was fun to write it with him, with my man too.
That's awesome. I have three kids. Micah's 9, Hannah's 8, and Chloe's 4. And so we're in that fun, crazy stage. And we have so many great conversations at bedtime and driving around the minivan life. It's a blessing. But man, this resource is great. I've already been reading. We're in a family series at our church this week. And this week is parenting. So it's kind of funny. Like, you know, before I had kids, I thought, man, I really think I could do that. And, you know, it's always funny how you have all these ideas before you're a parent. And then when you become a parent, you're like, you know, I think I can do this. But then bringing them home from the hospital, you're like, oh my goodness, this is all on me. And I don't think it changes like what you guys have been saying, but I'm going to share this with our church as this resource and really challenge them to take next steps. But for me, it's trying to weave this into my daily life and take more intentional steps. And this is huge what you guys are talking about, how it connects to the gospel. It's not just, hey, here's 5 lessons that you need to teach your kids, but this is more tying it into the overall story of God. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm hearing. And I think that's huge.
Yeah. We have conversations. And again, you said something earlier that just struck a chord with me is, kids are hearing and kind of confronted with these topics, these things that we're all having to wrestle with earlier in life. I have, you know, from 14 to 5 years old. So my 5-year-old's not in school yet, but I have 4 out of the 5 in school. And the conversations we have around the kitchen table are more in depth, more serious than I probably would have ever had at their age growing up. And it's thankfully, I just, by the grace of God, we have this comfort place in our kitchen table to where we can have these conversations. Our kids are willing to have the conversations with us. But what we see is a tension between, you know, what they know to be true because of the home they're growing up in and what they're being told is true based off of the world that they're growing up in. And there's definitely a clash of worldviews taking place. And so you're absolutely right. This is critical. This is super important that we're having these conversations. Now, you alluded to it just a minute ago, these three circles. So I just wanted to, I'm familiar with it from, you know, a little bit of the book that I'm reading. I was transparent. I haven't finished the book yet, but there's also
three. I'm feeling bad.
I am. I'm feeling,
he's feeling really guilty.
I really
makes me wonder what page he's on, Jimmy.
Well, you know, there's other things he was sharing about his life before the podcast that we won't speak of publicly.
He's feeling a need to confess.
James was really feeling
okay.
He's really humble today.
You're making it feel really awkward for me.
Very,
real quick, real
you
quick.
Know, Jay has a real soft heart to the Lord. That's what I'll say.
So, just so you know what reference he's making, because it sounds really weird what you're saying. You're being very, very. There's a softball game I'm supposed to coach, and there's a playoff Celtics game I have courtside tickets to, and it's like, which one do you choose? That's the tension point that I was feeling guilty about earlier that you're making reference to. But let's go back to what we're talking about here. There's a unique the three circles.
Let's keep talking about that. That's a good topic.
Well, I want to know what you're going to do, Jay.
Yeah, we want to know. The listeners want to know.
I mean, your children are the Celtics. Which one did
you're wearing a Celtics hat? If you're not watching it, he's wearing a brand new Celtics hat that he bought today.
All right. Three circles. Let's go back to the conversations. So I gave you
the green light.
You gave me the green light. My daughter's giving me the green light. Everyone's giving me the green light.
Yeah, you're free, man. You're free in Christ.
I have until 5 o'clock to decide today, and it is 3:50. I have an hour and 10 minutes to decide.
Are you going to the game with one of your other children?
No.
Oh, if you only had 2 tickets, then it's family time, man.
Well, he does have another ticket.
Another child, then like.
So none of these are my tickets. I was given 1 ticket. There's 4 tickets. I was given 1 of 4. Yeah, so how did this turn into a conversation about me? I don't know. Let's go back to the book. Let's go back to the book.
Okay.
Josh threw me off of the bus. So three circles. I've led multiple as a discipleship pastor, is, you know, teaching just how to have gospel conversations. I've used the three circles in that format. What I love that you're incorporating that into this book. And I'd love for you to explain even more so from your words, not from what I'm regurgitating from the book, but how is it that you're using these three circles in a format that helps with it, guiding these conversations with children? So can you expound on that a little bit?
Yeah, I'll start, and then Kristen will say it the best way. She's really good at stuff. Jay, actually, what's interesting is the three circles actually started years ago. We came up with it when we were doing pre-marriage counseling with a bunch of people who are coming to our church who are far from God people. They're not church people. They don't know any Bible verses or Bible stories. And they came to our church because someone that they know goes to our church and signed them up for a class on marriage. Most of these people were living together. They had children together. And they're just trying to figure out how to build a life. And so Kristen and I had a background of doing pre-marriage counseling with a lot of young couples. But the young couples that we had always done pre-marriage with were all like pretty solid Christians. And so we had all this like Ted Tripp, you know, style material, gospel center material that we would take them through. And when we got to South Florida and we started having this other group of people come to our stuff, we were like, wow, this stuff isn't going to work because these people don't know any Bible stories or Bible verses, and they haven't made any Christian commitments. And so it just doesn't make sense. And so how are we going to talk to these people about marriage and parenting and family while giving them what they really need, which is a gospel stamped understanding of these things? And the three circles was developed to talk to far from God people about the intersection of marriage and family with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And only later was it adapted to become an evangelistic tool when we figured out that the people that we were talking to actually became, a lot of them became believers. And this tool really was helpful for talking to them about Jesus. And so then we started using it in other ways. And then, you know, it kind of took on a life of its own in a way. And so people use the three circles as an evangelistic tool around the world. Mm-hmm. But it actually started as a way to talk about marriage and family.
Wow.
Love that. All right.
Love that. I did not know that. I didn't know that originally. I've used it a lot over the years. So it's been a great tool. So thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So again, leaning into that a little bit again, how is that used within the context of the book to help guide these conversations with children, with your children? How are you incorporating that in? So marriage and family, I've heard marriage and family, and then it's also evangelistic tool, but now here it is a tool for parents to use when talking with their children. So help us a little bit, just lean into what that looks like within the context of the book.
Well, why don't I give a little bit of a descriptor of the three circles, and then Kristen, why don't you talk about God's design? Will that work?
Sure.
Sounds great.
So the three circles is a diagram. It's a conversational map, and it starts off with a God's design, that God has a design for every aspect of our lives. When we depart from God's design, we end up in the second circle, and that circle is called brokenness. And brokenness is how you feel when you have departed from God's design for a number of reasons. The third circle is the gospel, the good news, and that is that God sees us in our brokenness. He understands it. He knows how we got there. And God's provided a way for us to heal, for him to heal the broken places in our lives. And the way is via the gospel, his son, Jesus, crucified, raised from the dead. And so what we need to do is understand that the reason we're in brokenness is we've sinned against God. That's what causes the feelings of brokenness. The way out of brokenness is by repenting, changing our minds and our hearts about our sins that got us in the brokenness, and believing in Jesus. That's the gospel. And then when we do that, and we receive Jesus by faith, then God forgives us of our sins, and he gives us a way to recover and pursue his design. And the reason that this is so helpful and important is it gives you a map for a conversation about literally any issue you're going to face as a parent. And the most important thing to understand for all, to make all the work is the idea that God has a design.
Mm. Well, I think what happens is, as parents, we Christian parents, understand all of the things that Jimmy just said. We understand that God has a design, that we depart from it because of sin, we enter brokenness, and that the only way to Jesus is through the gospel, believing and repenting. But we think of that in terms only as a salvation tool. So, you know, our child comes to know Jesus when they're 10. And so now they know they're going to heaven when they die. And so that's kind of how we think of the gospel. But what we understand about the gospel is it's not just to secure our eternity. The gospel transforms our everyday life. And so you have God's design which is extremely important for our kids because, as we said earlier, they are being bombarded from a young age with all kinds of teaching that is completely contrary to God's word or some adjustments to it. And so what we understand as Christian parents about God's plan is that it's not just in a catalog full of good ideas and that it's just one option. We understand it to be God's law, and this is the way to live our lives. And if we understand that that's true and we know what God's design is, then when we have these conversations, we don't have to become experts of every variation of it. We know, just like, we use an example in the book of the people that are great counterfeit spotters. They don't look at every variation of the bill to be able to understand, this one's counterfeit or there's something unique about this. They just become experts in the real thing. Mm-hmm. And then when they see something that's not the real thing, it's easy to spot. And that's how we have to be as parents. And that's how we have to train our kids to understand that God's design is the real thing. And so then when they hear all of these other options or approaches, something will be a check in their spirit. This isn't right. This is contrary to God's design. Yeah. And so, when we're talking, for instance, about marriage and sexuality, goodness, the game of that changes every day as far as the world is concerned, but not God's people, because he's written from the book of Genesis and all through scripture how we're supposed to operate as men and women, husbands, wives, fathers and mothers and children. And so what a gift that God has given us that he doesn't change, which means his design doesn't change. And so as much as we can get the truth of that in front of our kids and all these conversations that we're coming up with, we are, we're giving them security and we're giving them handles to hold on to as they're walking this road.
Oh, that's great. I think it's such a huge connection, and it's not just, hey, here's a bunch of behavioral modification, but this is out of the change, the identity in Christ. This is who we are. This is how we live. And I think I love the direction of the book. I'm looking forward to diving into it more. I'm a young parent. Jay is young. What would you tell your younger parent self, what you know now? And that's a kind of a really broad question, but what do you wish you would have done differently or done even more than what you've already invested in your kids that we could learn from, and all of our listeners that are listening in?
I'll go first on that one. I think I would tell my younger self to relax, because with our kids that are the oldest, the ones we had first, I think I felt this incredible intensity and this sense of urgency that I wasn't going to let them mess up. And so I was really strong on discipline and following the rules and using manners and bedtimes and schedules. And there's some benefit to all of that. And I think all those have their place, and I would still use all of that. I would just do it in a much more measured and relaxed way. And I would realize that some of the tools that I had learned and the principles that I had that had been taught about parenting, those things really have to work for me. I don't work for them. And so I think I would try to relax more and take more of a long haul view. And some of that's just maturity, because look, I mean, everybody that I know that has a lot of kids, they say, oh yeah, I totally parent the younger ones totally different than I did the older ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jay, I don't know if that's because you have five, so you get it. Your 14-year-old probably says, looking at their younger brother or sister, you never let me do that when I was their age. And so I don't know if we become wiser or more tired, but you do parent differently.
They go together, and, don't they?
Yeah. But I think I would tell my younger mom self, I think that so many parents are plagued by being afraid that they're going to either show too much of the law of God or too much of the grace. And there's this constant tension between those two. But what we have figured out over the years in parenting and just understanding God's character is that his law and his grace or his redemption are not butting heads against each other. They're actually inseparable friends that to display both the law of God and the grace of God as we're talking to our children. That is giving them a picture of who God really is. And so we have to be super clear about his design for them. And yet we also have to always give them a way back, whether it's your 3-year-old or 10-year-old or 15-year-old or beyond, is that we have a phrase that we say, God always stays in the game with his people. He promised us he would. That's the whole essence of his covenant love with us. And it's our job to show that to our kids. And so I would remind myself not to apologize for holding that standard up. But I also would remind myself to give them grace and always have a way to have redemption, because both are important if we're going to teach them about who our God really is.
That's good. That's good. And you're right. 14-year-old, 5-year-old, completely. I think everybody in my family believes we treat the 5-year-old with way more grace and give him a lot more leeway than we did the rest of them. And I think you were hit. Somebody said it earlier. It's just tired. It's at this point, it's just like, okay, I don't have the energy anymore. I'm running around with all the other one, the 5-year-old. He's just kind of, he's figuring it out.
Himself, doesn't he?
He does. He does. But yeah, this is great stuff. Gold, really.
This has been so great.
I think a lot of parents, and you mentioned earlier, these conversations, you know, whether it be with, you know, sexuality, whether it be marriage, whether it be, you name it, all the tough conversations that need to be had, I think it's a little intimidating for some parents who feel like, hey, maybe I'm just not equipped enough to have the conversation. Maybe I'm not equipped enough to be able to guide that conversation, especially when, you know, depending on where they go to school, what kind of influences they have on the outside. They're hearing all sorts of different realms. So why is it, do you think, parents are wrestling so much with the conversations that are needing to be had? What is it that's the underlying? Is it fear? Is it not knowing enough? What's the underlying, you know, cause perhaps of parents not engaging in these conversations? I've spoken to a lot of parents who are just like, you know, we're not having those conversations, which, you know, not having the conversation could be more detrimental than having the conversation. But what do you think it is that, from your perspective, from maybe all the families that you're talking with and working with, what is the tension point that's keeping them from having the conversations that need to be had?
Well, babe, you want me to go first this time, and then you?
I see you're on ready. Go for it.
I think there's two major reasons why, for most parents. One is exactly what you just said. They're afraid. Mm-hmm. They're afraid that their child is going to ask them something that they're not prepared to answer, or that they will be too embarrassed to talk about. But I really think the biggest reason why we're not having these conversations with our kids is we are too busy. And so our schedules don't permit us to live out the scriptures of teaching them as we walk in the way, as we lay down at night, as we rise up, because we have so much competing for our time. And, you know, we're rushing from work to ball practice to school and back again. And it's just, we love our children and we love God, but we're trying to do such good things for them that I think we're so busy, we don't have the time to be intentional about these things. The great part about that is that there's a fix to that, right? Mm. We can really look at our schedules and figure out what we need to cut out so that we can have more of these conversations.
I think too, in addition to that, I think we're slaves of technology. And so even when we do have margin or time, both we and our children tend to be glued to devices, whether it's the television or the tablet or the phone. And so then even when we are together, a lot of our together time is squandered trying to keep up with conversations that are happening in other places. Mm-hmm. We're going to miss something going on out there. Mm-hmm. And we trade what's going on in here for what's going on out there. And then the other thing is, I think that parents, especially Christian parents, have been shaken, and they're afraid that their ideas mm-hmm. about, for instance, their instinct to tell their kids, no, this is what a boy is and this is what a girl is, and it's really not that difficult to figure it out. They're shaken. And my gosh, if the whole world can't figure out what the difference between a boy and a girl, how can I as a parent possibly like speak into these other more complex issues? And so I think parents' confidence in just their basic instincts about parenting, about God, about theology, about God's design have been shaken by the world pressing on them so hard. And that's one of the reasons that we wrote this book, and one of the reasons why I appreciate podcasts like this, and one of the reasons why churches like all of ours matter, is because we need to be encouraging our parents that those instincts that you have, like those like common sense things, like, hey, I think I know what a boy and a girl is. Mm-hmm. I think I know what that is. You're right. You do know exactly what that is. And to affirm for them that it's okay for you to talk to your kids about it because it's just as simple as it appears, not more complicated. And parents just need to hear that. And this is a deal where if you shy away or you fail to intentionally have these conversations with your kids, the thing is your kids are going to have the conversations. It's just a matter of who they're going to have them with.
Right.
And so it's not a question of whether or not your kid's going to talk to somebody about their sexuality or about their same-sex attraction or about the questions they have about bitterness or about drugs and alcohol. They're going to talk to somebody about it. And as our motto is, hey, they're going to talk to somebody about it. It might as well be us. And that's why I would encourage parents to get really intentional about these kinds of things.
So taking that intentional step to say they're going to talk about it, whether it's in the locker room or the classroom or at their friend's house.
On the bus, wherever they go.
Yep. Wherever they go.
At church.
Mm-hmm. At church. And whether Christian school, public school, or homeschool. You know, I was homeschooled, you know, but all the way up. We were real weird back in the day. We were like aliens, the Robinson boys.
Robinson's had no sin. You know, guys were homeschooled, so.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And I would just tell Jeff, as a secondborn, you're not the boss of me. That's what I always told him. I still tell him that. But anyway, but yeah, you know, no matter what, how you grew up, I mean, even no matter where you go to school, you can't get away from it in the culture today, like you're saying, the devices, the media, it's just more in our faces. And I love that you're taking a proactive step by giving us a resource to help us have these, you know, Jesus-centered conversations, because like you said, everybody's talking about it. I mean, my 8-year-old daughter has come home and she's like, Daddy, my friend was talking about this. And I'm going, an 8-year-old should not be hearing about that. Gosh. You know, but that's the world we're in. Of course, it gave us opportunities, me and my wife Cassie, to have some of these conversations that we were not like intentionally going, hey, let's talk about this, you know. But I love that you're saying, hey, let's go ahead and take initiative and let's talk about it so that we can prepare our kids to not only deal with it, but have a Jesus-centered, you know, gospel focus in it.
Yeah. And, you know, part of having these conversations with our kids, and the reason why God's design and the gospel is so important to keep in front of them, it's not just his rules, but prayerfully, we are passing on his manner in how we deal with people who are different than us. And so, you know, the scriptures talk about how Jesus looked upon the crowds and he was moved with compassion for them. And so when our kids talk to us about, hey, what do I do? My teacher is gay, or why is my aunt coming over with another woman? We're telling our kids the truth, and yet we're doing so with great compassion towards people that are not living out God's design. And so it gives us what to talk about, but it also gives us a way and how to talk about it with them.
That's good.
That's really good. And so we want to encourage you very much, if you're listening to this podcast and you're a parent, grandparent, if you're having an opportunity to have these conversations with children, pick up the book, Full Circle Parenting, A Guide for Crucial Conversations, Jimmy and Kristen Scroggins. Thank you guys so much for being here today on the podcast. Thanks for being a part of the conversation. Anything else you'd like to leave us with? Say you didn't have the chance to have the conversation, you didn't have the chance to say it on the podcast because of a question, or you wish you would have came back to it. Anything else you'd like to leave us with? Final thoughts on your book and how important these conversations really are.
Kristen,
you go first.
Well, I would just say that the most important thing is the way that parents talk to their kids and the way they treat their kids, the way they forgive their kids, the way parents repent of our own sins. Because when we are able to treat our kids with respect and dignity and love, when we forgive easily and restore quickly, we make it easier for our kids to believe that God is going to treat them with love and dignity and respect and forgive easily and restore quickly. When we treat our kids in a way that makes them, we don't want to treat our kids in a way that makes them think that God's not going to do that. When we fail to forgive easily and restore quickly, it makes it easy for them to think that God isn't going to forgive easily and restore quickly. Mm-hmm. And so we just have this representative function as Christian parents to our kids. That's so powerful and so important.
And I would just say to encourage parents to keep leaning into their church family. Part of the power of linking arms with other believers on a weekly basis is that you're showing your children that you are not an alien in this world, as far as you're the only one living this out, but you're showing them other believers who are like-minded. And, you know, your pastor and your youth pastors are pouring into your children, and you're helping them develop relationships with other adults that they can go to and that they can look up to. And so I think even going back to the schedule, we do our kids such a disservice when we push church attendance and church involvement out because we're trying to fill it with other things when we could be giving them these opportunities to have these spiritual moments on a regular basis.
Wow. It's good.
That's good stuff. Such I want to make good. Sure if you don't know already, I didn't mention this earlier, but the Church for the Rest of Us podcast by Pastor Jimmy and others has been great for me. If you don't listen to that podcast, check it out as well. If you're not aware of it, it's just really helpful, really practical, and great conversations over there too. So,
hey, Kristen has an excellent podcast as well for moms. It's called awesome. The Mom Village, and you can find that on our website as well, familychurchnetwork.com. And it's a really incredible podcast specifically for moms that covers a lot of different things from a variety of cultural perspectives. So it's a really neat podcast.
That's awesome.
So what we'll do is we'll drop all of those links and information in the show notes as well as on our website. So it's easy for you to find if you're listening to this in your car and you're going, hey, I didn't get that. Just head over to thepastorpod.com and you can get all those resources right there on our website. But again, we want to thank you, Jimmy and Kristen, for being here. Thank you for being our guests. Thank you for carving out some time to have this important conversation as we're helping to resource other parents and other pastors as they have those conversations with their church and their children. From Josh, myself, Kristen, and Jimmy, have a great rest of your weekend. Thank you for joining us on the Pastor Pod.